Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at The Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing habit-forming challenges to build character through action. We are by no means experts, just two young Christian men trying to make sense of a wild world.
That's right. We do our best to learn and hope you'll join us on the journey. And if you want to get directly involved, go to forginghonor.com to find information on how to join our community.
This is episode 30, Closing the Book on Daily Bible Reading.
And that was Banjo's title idea, not mine, ladies and gentlemen. And he's not even a dad.
I don't think anyone was surprised that it was mine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Very good. All right. Challenge wrap-up time. As a reminder, challenges now last for 2 months instead of 2 weeks. Really, it's more like 6 weeks, so almost 2 months. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as men. This challenge that we are wrapping up today was very simple. It was our Start the New Year challenge of read your Bible every day. So Banjo, how did you do for the last 6 weeks?
Over the last 6 weeks, well, after a wobble out of the starting gate, the first 2 weeks were pretty rough. I think first 2 weeks were, I think I did 5 out of 10, maybe between the two sets of weekdays. But after that, I got really consistent. I think I've been 10 for 10 for the following 2 weeks. So it's been really helpful for me. I've appreciated us doing it this, this way and taking the time to do it for the 2 months. Cause I think this has set me in a good trend for 2024. Probably one of the best, or at least the most consistent runs of Bible reading I've had in a long time. So I'm enthused. How about you? How was it in the last little stretch?
It's been really good. Likewise, as far as the setting me up well for the year, I think it's great. I can happily say that I have hit every single day so far this year.
Very nice.
Not every day has been in depth as it could be or as much study going on. Sometimes it's just I'm going to get my one chapter in and then I did read my Bible at least.
Yeah.
But we are recording this a bit early, ladies and gentlemen. So normally we record this on a Saturday and then release it the same day. So we're recording this 3 days early in anticipation of I'm having a child here pretty soon. So I'm excited about that.
I mean, let's be clear. You're not having the child.
Right, right. My wife is having the child and I will be there to support
her.
So that is coming up. But we're recording this a few days early. So if I don't miss Thursday and Friday of this week, then I'll have hit a 100% on this. So I'm very excited about that. This is definitely one of the longest unbroken streaks of Bible reading I've had in a long time. We don't count like our bot on the
weekends.
Discord doesn't count the weekends, right?
Yeah.
So we don't count that. But I did hit the weekends as well. So I'm happy to say that.
That's good.
I think that's something we could potentially start doing is counting weekends, actually.
Well, one thing I've been thinking about with the challenge, this particular challenge is I wasn't doing it on the weekends. And I thought it's a little silly for me not to be doing it on the weekends. I mean, it's not like, it's not like I should stop talking to God just because it's Saturday. Sunday is a little different in some ways, I think, just because I'm going to church and I'm going to go hear the word. But then again, I mean, it's a day dedicated to public and private practice of worshiping God. So, all the more reason, I guess. So yeah, I need to get more consistent in that area.
That's something we can discuss as well, as far as are certain challenges better fit to be done on the weekends as well as on the weekdays.
Right.
For this one, I would say that I think it's a practice going forward would be good to do all 7 days a week. I enjoyed digging into it. I definitely found it to be fruitful. So what we have done is I have a bunch of the interview questions that we asked our guests that we had for this challenge. So we had on a Christian Brewer and Jamie Crampton, both pastors.
Thank you again to those guys, because that was excellent stuff. I really appreciated that.
They were phenomenal. And we asked them some fun questions. So I have a list of those questions in front of us, and I thought it would be fun for us to go through these and kind of bat them back and forth a little bit, and then discuss what have we learned from the answers that Jamie and Christian gave us. So this is kind of a live, your hosts are the guinea pigs today, right? So we've been doing this challenge, whether or not you were doing it. We're happy to have you here, but we've been doing this challenge, and now we get to talk about, is this, what did we actually learn from it? And going forward, how is this going to look in our lives? So to kick it off, I think one of the things that was, that we asked, I think Jamie especially, but one of the things that we dug into was, are we just checking a box? Are we doing it just for the purpose of checking a box? I was looking back through my notes. We asked Christian the same thing. And both of them pointed out that, one, it's not a bad thing to just check the box with scripture reading, right? Because at the end of the day, you are laying eyes on scripture, and scripture is incredibly foundational. One thing I really appreciated that Christian said was he used a pill analogy.
Right.
Like you wouldn't, if a doctor said you got to take this pill every day to be well, right? You wouldn't stop taking, you would not take that pill, right? If it just takes a few minutes. And I think while we can sort of treat scripture like a pill, sometimes that's what it needs to be for us. So that was encouraging for me because I definitely feel like I checked the box in some ways. At the same time, when we were discussing that with Jamie, he was advising how to dig deeper a little bit. And so I think taking a systematic study of a book is something I've wanted to take on. I'm in Matthew right now with a men's small group. But I really want to dig into Mark, what he was saying about that.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of all that, Banjo? On the topic of just checking the box versus digging in?
Well, I'm flipping through my copy of Valley of Vision, and I was trying to find a prayer that I've been reading it with my Bible reading, because whereas we were talking about some of the stuff with Jamie and with Christian, I was just, I was encouraged by what they were saying about, how good it is to be reading, you know, one of the standards of the faith or liturgy, alongside of it. And I've just been encouraged with that. So I thought, you know, I'm going to take this up. I have a copy of it. I've always been meaning to make it more consistent in my day-to-day life. And so when I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is I'm reading Valley of Vision, and I'm reading a chapter of Exodus. That's been my practice, which has been a really interesting, Exodus has been a really interesting pick me up with the morning coffee, especially for like the first three chapters, because I forgot how violent the first three chapters of Exodus are. It's all like, we're going to kill all the babies. And then immediately after that, it's like, okay. And then all of the livestock died. Okay. All of the frogs died. Okay, the rivers are full of blood now. It's just like this really grotesque imagery, but it's really cool. Anyway, one of the prayers I read recently in Valley of Vision, all this to say, said something along the lines of, and I can't find it now, but it said something about, let me not only love thee when I feel like it, or something like that. And the last bit of the prayer was something along the lines of, for it is a hollow thing for me to have faith only when I feel it. Basically, was the long.
That's really good.
Yeah, and I was like, that's so. I mean, it is so counterintuitive to the way that we think nowadays. Of like, well, I have to if I am a good Christian, then I'm going to feel like a Christian. I'm going to feel like I am, you know, speaking with God and communing with God. And, it seems to me, the more I'm reading from these other places, it seems more like, well, that's a very hollow faith if it's only when we feel like it. And that's not to make, you know, our spiritual disciplines, I think, a drudgery, but just, to me, it's more of an encouragement of, I don't always have to be on fire for the Lord. You know, it's more of recognizing the truth of the gospel and resting in it, and day by day letting that become my fire rather than expecting to be kind of consumed in this holy passion at all times.
Right. That makes sense. No, I see what you're saying, because it is easy to do things only because we want to do them, right? We have so many hobbies. We have so many activities that we do because we want to do them. And there are very few people, I think, early on in their faith that are excited to go read things like Exodus. There are passages of scripture that we turn to very quickly that we might be excited to read. But there are definitely other passages that can be tough to dig into. I think, so you're starting with Valley of Vision before you do your scripture reading?
Yeah, it was something, I think it was what Jamie said. He pointed out that we need prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in our reading. Because we're not the ultimate authority on scripture. Scripture is the ultimate authority on scripture. And we need, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do that. And I think it's just for me, it's become a good practice of asking God to help me with my day and asking him to help me with even the reading of his word. The other thing is, the Valley of Vision prayers are really, really good at asking God to totally, overrun who I am. So much of the Puritan prayers, I think, seem to be about, it's not about me becoming my best self. It's not about me reaching my full potential or any self-help, something like that. It's all about, Lord, one of the prayers said, let me not be taken with the delusions of this life, riches and splendor and wealth and praise and power and glory, like all this stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so well put, like these delusions. And then getting to read that and then put that next to scripture and to say, okay, so Lord, take away the desire for delusions, but instead give me the desire for the word. That's been really helpful for me over the last couple of weeks, I think. So we'll see if it continues.
That's really good though, the bit about the prayer before scripture and that you put that into practice, because that's something I have not put into practice as well. If I remember before I open up my Bible, I'm like, oh, I got to pray about this before I read scripture. I'm in the habit of I'll read or I'll pray after I've done my reading. But I have noticed when you enter in to a time of devotion, framing it with prayer that God will help you in that is huge, because you're not relying on yourself anymore, right? You're not looking to your own strength to understand, or your own wits to understand what is there in God's word for you.
I have prayed on my own laziness, or I should say played on my own laziness, by when I wake up in the morning, my Valley of Vision book is on top of my Bible. So
that's clever.
I can't open my Bible without opening up Valley of Vision first.
Right.
So it's just like a really tangible way of reminding myself to do it. The other thing is it's become more of a practice for me to pray more consistently and more meaningfully before I do other things. So like when I'm teaching my classes, we're at the school that I'm at, we're supposed to pray before every class. And that's a thing that I just think is awesome. I love that we do that. I would be doing it anyway. But I've really appreciated more recently after having done this, just recognizing like, just as it's true that I can't take anything out of scripture without the will of God, I can't teach my kids anything without the will of God. They can't get it. I can't get anything new out of a text unless God is giving me the ability to do it. And so really to just like earnestly seek God before class and to say like, Lord, I need your help to teach these kids, especially because a lot of them are like in real spiritual need, you know? And I think, I don't know if this was true for you, JJ, but growing up, I was kind of surrounded by lots of these kinds of prayers, like, Lord, please bless this conversation that we're about to have, or, you know, be with us as we travel. And they're kind of just like tossed off things. But the more that I think about it, the more that I realize like those are real prayers. And in some ways, those are like the real prayers, because those are really like faith.
Or they can be, right? They don't have to be trite.
They can be. Right.
Exactly. I do think I have definitely done that before where I'll say a quick prayer and just say the same thing I've always said. And I wonder if that is similar in a similar way, right? We're just checking the box of prayer there. Is that really a helpful thing, right? Because it seemed like, you know, with our guests both told us, it is at least helpful to even just open your Bible and at least get eyes on it, right? Even if you're just checking the box.
Yeah.
Does the same thing apply to prayer? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'd have to bring them back on to really say.
Just drag them on real quick. Give them a call.
Yeah. One thing I do think about often is, I can't remember where it is, but one of the New Testament writers talks about the Holy Spirit hears our sighs and groans and brings them to the Father. And I wonder if that applies to the prayers that we pray that maybe we don't mean, and maybe God is merciful to us in granting more than we say or more than we feel.
Right.
Because it's not always dependent on our feelings, and it shouldn't be.
Right.
You know,
that makes sense. At the same time, I do think there could be a danger of, well, I'm going to pray this prayer because if I do, God's going to give me something. Right. Like there might be. As God's children, we can believe that God loves to give good things to his children, but that doesn't mean same thing as, well, I'm just going to make sure I pray this thing so I'm safe on the interstate today. Right. It's not a get out of jail free card, I guess is what I'm saying.
Or sometimes we can pray things without realizing what we're saying. You know, that there's I think it's the song Oceans. If you know that praise song. It's got a chorus or a bridge that is something like, lead me where my trust is without borders, where.
Oh, we sang that all the time at Covenant.
Yeah. Like where I'm out upon the waters and stuff like that. And I was working.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. I was working at a youth ministry, one summer, and I'm not a fan of that song. And I was talking with the youth leader about that song, and he was like,
"Now you're on air saying that, Banjo."
I'm on air. It's okay. my stance on these songs has been clear for a long time. I'm not surprising anybody who knows me. Besides, I'm the OPC kid. Like, we're no fun at parties. Everybody knows that.
I don't know. I've been to a few parties with you, Banjo.
Anyway, one of the things that the song says is basically like it's like you're. We talked about me and this pastor friend. We talked about it, and the reason that we came down on it, that we didn't like it very much, is you're kind of asking somebody to say like, God, lead me into these like kind of terrible situations. Lead me into places where I'm drowning, essentially, you know. And it's almost like a self-imprecatory prayer. Like you're almost like asking God to bring you through the fire, or to put you into the fire so that he can bring you out of it a little bit. And you know, that might be fine in certain settings, but especially in a youth group where maybe there's kids there who aren't Christians and who wouldn't hold to the faith, you know, it maybe it's not the best thing to you know, get them to pray something. Essentially, it's because that's what you're essentially doing in the song is praying this thing over yourself.
Praying theology you might not want to pray.
Yeah, you might. If you just right, might want them right. to think about it. You know, please pray responsibly, I think is probably what
I need
it comes
that on
down
a poster.
To.
Please pray responsibly.
That'll be our first merch. Our
there
first
you
merch.
Go. Forging honor. Please pray responsibly.
That'd be good.
My word. That is a funny thing.
I was going to ask, are there any bits of wisdom that you got out of the interviews these last few weeks that you were really like, this has been really encouraging to me or anything like that?
Well, yes, several things. But before I dig into more, I mean, something that struck me, what you were talking about, and this goes to one of the questions we asked, was just how your daily scripture reading and your awareness of the habits that you're surrounding it with. That was the question we asked. What are good habits to surround this core habit with? So you're surrounding it with prayer, and that's affecting the rest of your life in the classroom and how you pray. And that is super cool to me because it shows that the habit, it's a foundational thing. You know, it takes you, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe in the morning to do your time of prayer and scripture reading. And you, or I mean, maybe it's the 7 minutes that, that was mentioned at one point on a previous episode. It's a short amount of time, but then it's affecting you for the rest of the day. And it's setting you up to live your life before the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and again, it's not me that's doing that. It's more like the, you know, it's by the grace of God that those things are happening. And it's also, that's even me saying that is one of those things that is like, it's one of those trite things that people say, but it's true in that it's not, you know, the more that I spend time in scripture, the more that I'm realizing, like, I am not the one who is doing the good works in me, like reading Exodus and reading what Moses says and how Moses is like, Lord, I'm a man of, you know, I'm not able to speak. I you know, I've killed a man. I can't be in charge of this. It's also really interesting to me that he asked God for a sign. He says, how will I know that these things are true? And God doesn't give him a sign in the immediate. He gives him a sign he says, this will be a sign unto you that you will, it's something like you will speak to me in the cloud, you will in the mountains, right? Or you will see the face of God in the mountains or something along those lines. I'm not getting it exactly right. But he gives him a future promise that Moses has to take on faith. And then eventually Moses sees the fulfillment of that promise. And I was just struck with that as what we're doing with our scripture reading is kind of like that. Like there is this future sign that we will see. There's this future gift that we will have. But right now we're being asked to really do this thing in the moment. This is where we're being called to be faithful by God's grace and by his strength. Yeah, but it's also, and I'll just hit this point really quickly because otherwise I'll go in a rabbit hole and we don't want me going in rabbit holes. But the things that we practice, all they, you know, it's cyclical and kind of, self-sustaining because the things that we practice influence the things that we believe and the things that we believe influence the things that we practice. And I was just having a conversation with somebody today about, we were arguing over the inerrancy of scripture. And this particular person was arguing that, well, scripture is inerrant. I said, I believe that scripture is the infallible, inspired holy word of God. And this person said, well, yeah, I'd agree with all of those except maybe inerrant. And I was like, oh, why? And they were like, well, I think that the Bible is inerrant, but the people's interpretations of it can be inerrant. And sometimes people use that to, you know, divide the line between who's Christian and who's not. And I was like, well, no, it's kind of important. Like you kind of need the inerrancy of scripture. And so we got into it a little bit, but at the end of the day, I just came away with this, came away from that conversation thinking it's really important for us to believe that scripture is inerrant, because it's all we have. This is the revealed will of God. This is how we're able to speak with him, to know what he would have for our lives. And then I was reinforced with this idea of like, if that's true, like why wouldn't we read this every day? You know? But the belief informs the practice and the practice becomes belief and it's all cyclical and redundant and all that good stuff. Anyway, I'm rambling, JJ, cut me off.
No, I think that's really, really cool. And your process of realizing that cyclical nature of it, of how the regular everyday habit of reading scripture informs your belief, which then reinforms how you perform that habit and how you go back to scripture. I think what's super cool about that is that's built in to how habits work. That's something God has made us to do.
Yeah.
It's that way with running, which you and I both love, right? As you run more and you get better at it and you start to like it, then you want to go run more.
Yeah.
Right. And it's this cyclical pattern. And that's a really, really good thing. It can be so hard to find quality habits that do that for you, I think. There are so many bad habits that have the opposite or have the same effect of perpetuating the habit, right?
Yeah. Well, addiction.
Exactly. Any form of addiction, alcohol is a common one where the quickest cure to a hangover is more alcohol, right?
Right.
So sure, what happens is you end up addicted to alcohol. So the fact that you're doing that with scripture, right? You're replacing, well, you aren't an alcoholic. You were never an alcoholic. That I know of, Banjo.
But you're on air, not an alcoholic.
There we go. Yeah. We got him, ladies and gentlemen. But you're doing the same process with this wonderful, glorious thing. And I can't help but wonder, like, what is that going to do in a year, in 2 years, in 10 years, you know?
If I keep with it.
If you stick with it, right.
If I grow in that, that'll be huge. But again, that's by the grace of God, you know?
And exactly.
That's also what's really comforting to me is, okay, well, even if I fail at this, God is still good. God is still faithful. I don't need to be continuing in holding up the goodness of God.
Right, right.
God is doing that. So anyway, that's super cool. It's all good stuff.
So one question that you had actually put on our list of questions here, was understanding the difference. You kind of had two questions on this, but understanding the difference between spending time in scripture and something like Buddhist meditation or modern mindfulness practices. And another question you had that was very similar was, how do we avoid the tendency to treat the Bible like is it I Ching or a fortune cookie?
I Ching.
Yeah. I don't know how you pronounce that. Which I thought were phenomenal questions. And I was wondering, now that you have heard the answers in some form or fashion of those questions to our guests, what would your response to that be?
One of the things that I thought was most helpful was Christian and Jamie both said some really helpful things on this. I think, Christian reinforced, I think, the value of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in reading scripture. And that was just hugely encouraging to me, to read and to hear and to think, oh, you know, this is not dependent on me. Like I'm dependent on God to open the eyes of my heart. And similarly, like reading about Pharaoh, and seeing how his heart is hardened, even there's like these miracles are happening left and right. And he's like, nah, I'm good. It's like, oh, okay. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who's doing this work. He's protecting this. It's not random chance. Like with the I Ching, you're supposed to, depending on like where you are, what you're doing, you know, what dice you roll, whatever it is, that's what determines what advice you're reading for that day. And then you have to interpret it. You have to figure out what the Tao is saying to you, right? Whatever that is. And so that was really helpful. And then, I think Jamie said something about something along the lines of, the scripture is not given as a private word to an individual. It's given as a corporate text. And you know, we can understand that as individuals, but it's not ultimately, it's not a text message to us. And so it's not going to be individual to our lives. And I just thought that was so helpful. Because I've met a lot of people who, when I ask, how's your Bible reading going or something, you know, they'll give me the response, something along the lines of, God really spoke to me today and he told me, you know, that I should pursue this line of action in my work, I really should be doing, this business model or whatever. And I'm like, right. I don't think Galatians had anything to say about Sigma Six. Just my two cents. Calvin didn't get that out of that. That's all I'm saying.
That's funny.
So sometimes I've always been put off by that, partially because I think, well, do I need to be applying scripture like that? Like, do I need to be you know, helping, do I need to be using the Bible?
Do I need to be more quote unquote in tune with it or something? Like that's kind of the impression I get is these folks are just so in tune with their spiritual side. I'm like, what does that mean?
Like, am I missing a radio signal or a radio frequency?
Right.
Should I have a clear message on what Fruit Loops to buy? I don't know. So this kind of thing. So I think that was just super encouraging to me. Ultimately, I'm not the authority. I'm not in charge. That's a good thing because I make mistakes.
Well, there you have it.
What about you? Did you have anything that you were either from that particular question or more broadly that you were like, this is helpful?
Well, I think one thing that stuck out to me in Jamie's response, I don't know if it was exactly to that, but he was talking about just the purpose of scripture, how there is such a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
And you know, when you read a fortune cookie or your whatever it is, what are those called? People talk about them. It's like the different stars.
Oh, the astrology sign.
Yeah. Your different astrology stuff. That's something people read. And people talk about that but something that's so different about it is there's not a purpose behind it, right? There's not this single will of God, the Spirit of God going forth and giving this to you. And when he was talking about, when Jamie specifically was talking about the Beatitudes, you know, why are they in this order?
Oh yeah, that was so good.
That has just stuck with me, and I think about that now because one of my habits is I read the first thing I read in the morning is the proverb of the day, and that's been a habit of mine for a long time. This is the best streak I've had in a long time, I'll tell you that. and then usually there's other scripture being read with my family at breakfast or at dinner. So I kind of work my way through the Bible that way. But it just, even reading Proverbs, which sometimes just come in random, like what a seemingly random order.
Right.
That has jumped out at me and I gone, whoa, you can see as you're reading through like the order of Proverbs, why are these chapters laid out in this way? Why does he start with the warnings to young men before he jumps into some of the differences between a fool and a wise man? And then like the very last thing at the very end, chapter 31, there's an order to that too, right? You know, what would mm-hmm. you mean? You know what chapter 31 is about, right?
About the wise woman and the
except it doesn't start with that. It doesn't start with that.
What does it start with?
It starts with first off, it's the words of King Lemuel, an oracle given to him by his mother. So it's written by his mom.
Oh, okay.
And then it jumps in with do not give your strength to women. Do not give your strength to those who destroy kings. Do not be given to drunkenness. Do not be given to much wine or strong drink.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Give that to the poor people. Let those folks partake of those pleasures in life. You, my son, you need to be wise. And then here's the woman that'll help you do that. And then sets this impossible standard for all time. it's just like, but there's an order to it. And there are things like that that are jumping out at me in a way that have not before. And I think that is so different from how we treat our life. You know, we look at the news, we look at the signs of the times, whatever it is. We're like, oh, look at this thing. It's going this way, that way, that. But the word of the Lord stands forever.
Right.
One thing that I did was I sat down. We had my family, we've been working our way through the Pentateuch. So we're only just now got to Joshua. So it took us that long. It took us almost 2 years. As a family to read like one chapter a day, get through it. Takes a while.
It is a blessed slog through those passages.
And in that time, you know, you're reading through some of the tougher bits. You're like, I don't really know what's going on here.
Right.
So I thought, okay, what if I sat down? I had an hour on a Sunday morning, and I sat down and I just read Genesis. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a short story when you just sit down and read it. It probably took me 35, 40 minutes.
That's actually pretty impressive. That's 50 chapters, Genesis.
Yeah, but it's not very many pages when you think about it. Like in a chapter, it really isn't that long.
Yeah, fair enough.
I also am a pretty quick reader, I'll admit. So, and I just went, whoa, here's the whole scope of this. Like, there's an order to, like, the story is this, it unfolds. And then I went and did the same. I haven't kept up with this, but I'm like, okay, on Sundays, I kind of want to do this thing now where I try to read a book of the Bible.
Yeah.
I probably won't do that with Leviticus. That'll be pretty tough, but I'm probably jump around to some of the New Testament. Like, I want to do some of the letters next because there's an order to this stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I did it with Exodus and I was like, there's such this cool pattern here. At the beginning, they're in slavery.
Yep.
And then there's all this stuff where they're being rescued. And then there's the laws given to them. And at the end, they have the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Right. There's an order to it. Like, there's this, and there are things like that, you know, Jamie mentioned why this order, and that's just been rolling around in my head now. I'm like, okay, I gotta go find out why the order of all of this stuff now.
Yeah, and the importance of the unity of Scripture in the same discussion that I was having today with this other person, this other person asked me what I thought of this idea. There's an idea that there's an order to the revealed word of God. So his idea was that, or the idea he was talking about was that Christ is the most important, and then Scripture, and then the preached word, and then, you know, the way that we proclaim God in like conversations with one another. And I thought, kind of going off of what Jamie had said, I thought, well, that can't be true, because Christ is the word. He's the revealed word of God in the sense that he is the good news. He's the gospel to us. But then all of Scripture, all of God's word, all of the inspired Holy Scripture is all pointing towards Jesus. He's the center of that, right? So, you know, there's never going to be a point where what Christ says differs from Scripture. Like, there's never a point where you'd need to make a differentiation between Christ and Scripture. Or you never need to say, well, this one is higher than the other, because they're both God's word, right? In that sense, right? Not
right, right.
You know, right. I'm not trying to say that Scripture is Jesus. There's two differences, but
well, I see what you're saying, though, right? You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Exactly.
And John makes that very clear that the words you have in your hands are as close to Jesus as you will get in this life, in a physical sense.
Right, right. And
I want to be careful about, I don't know, like you could discuss spiritual sense. I don't know. I don't want to get into that and say something that's totally out there. But the point is, I think you're exactly right that Scripture at the end of, like, you're not walking around going, what does Jesus have for me today?
And right, then we don't need to be disappointed that we didn't live in Jesus's time.
Right. We have Jesus with us.
Exactly. It kills me when I all the time will ask at school, you know, just to get the kids thinking. I like to ask questions that are like, you know, if you could pick any time to live in, when would you live? And I really hate it when kids are like, I want to go live with Jesus. And I'm like, you have Jesus. Like, you have the Scriptures, you know,
right.
Just, you know, pick another time. There's other times. They were plenty interesting. Especially if you go into the future. I don't know. You could just mess around. Anyway, that's my pet peeve.
Well, that's really interesting to think about. Like, what, like, there is the value of the word of Christ directly from his mouth. But I mean, how many people heard Christ and didn't believe?
Exactly. I saw miracles, saw the resurrection and didn't believe.
Exactly. One thing I thought was interesting, and I think, well, we can wrap up after this, but we both asked Christian and Jamie, you know, how on the scale of like the spiritual habits, where does Scripture reading fall? And they answered the question a little bit differently. Well, Jamie just said it is most important. Christian nuanced it a little bit with Scripture reading itself is not the important thing, because you have to remember until the printing press, not everybody had a copy. But the daily intake of Scripture, right. I thought that was a good clarification. So in some way, because I've traveled and realized, oh, I didn't bring a Bible, or I don't have quick access. I mean, everybody has a phone now, so you could read it on that. But if you're ever like, oh, I'm like, this has happened mostly when I'm camping, because I don't have an access to a phone, or I don't have my Bible. It's like, all right, well, do I have some scripture memorized? I can still have an intake of scripture. Yeah. And I thought it was really cool. They both recognized that as similar to what you're talking about there with the it's foundational because it is the very word of God.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it can't get more important than that. It was a good one to start 2024 with.
Yeah. I'm excited to continue with this. And I hope that I continue well without having the pressure of the Forging Honor challenge on me. But that's one of the reasons we went for 6 weeks because I've been waking up and doing it first thing every day for 6 weeks. So
yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. I think that's going to be beneficial.
Yeah. Very good. All right. On to the next challenge. So this next challenge, again, it's going to last, really, it's not 2 months. It's more like a month and a half, but 6 weeks. It will be a simple daily task to grow us as men. And the challenge that we have decided on for the next 6 weeks is have an intentional conversation for 20 minutes or longer, best accompanied by a meal, a shared beverage, or other joint activity. So to introduce this, I'm kind of pulling back a little bit on the philosophy of Forging Honor. One thing, when we first started this, we wanted to go and try habits and establish good habits as young men, right? This is not a podcast where we just talk about this stuff. We want to dig into it with your host as the guinea pigs. And so we've chosen a set of topics over the course of the year. So to frame this topic is really about community. That's the point of this. And Banjo and I were talking about this. We felt that there are some large-scale community activities that we could suggest at this point. But at its core, when you're in community, when you're in fellowship, there's conversation is crucial. And we chose 20 minutes just as that seems reasonable. And in general, we found I think both of us have found that over a meal or a beer, we both enjoy a pipe. Some form of joint activity with a buddy or your spouse, or a member in your community. You know, I like to try and get a lunch a couple times a month with an elder in my community. Something like that. Banjo, I would love if you would talk about that book you read that helped bring about this challenge.
Yeah, so I recently read a book called The Common Rule, written by, let me check, because I forget things very quickly. His name is Justin Whitman. I read it too quickly. Justin Whitmell Early. Hope I'm saying that right. Justin Whitmell Early is the author of the book, The Common Rule.
He's going to write us in and be like, you butchered it.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to make us just redact his name. anyway, it's a common rule, but an uncommon name. No, the book is The Common Rule, and I found it to be just really helpful. I am generally really skeptical of like self-help books, and I'm ashamed to admit that a friend gave me this book in college. At a time in my life where I was very busy, and this friend said, you know, you're stressed, you're busy, you should take a look at this book. It could help you out, really helped me out. And I was like, great. And then I never read it because I was stressed and busy. But I wish I had, because I think it would have been really useful. long story short, this book is borrowing from some kind of monastic practices. In the sense that the monks would have organized their day in a sort of liturgical fashion in a way that was making a habit that reminded them of who God was and who they were and how they should be living. And so the aim of the book is not to be legalistic or to be, you know, setting rules. It's really just to ask a question of what are the actions that you're doing day in and day out, and what do those actions communicate about what you think about who God is and who you are? And so the book lays out about 8 challenges, 4 challenges that you can do every day, 4 challenges that you do every week, that are designed to get you thinking about those things and to take stock of some of your actions and and to take things a little bit more seriously, I think, to be focused on God in some really intentional ways. So, for example, one habit is to have a dedicated time of prayer in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And the idea is to just kind of have regulated time where you're going before God and acknowledging your dependence on Him. Another is to read scripture before you look at your phone, look at notifications on your phone. And the idea there is that when we're going right to our phone when we wake up, we're often letting the phone kind of dictate our reality. We're letting our phone dictate our pace of life, and not acknowledging that God ultimately is in control. And then it's easier to forget things like doing scripture reading or prayer. So that's a habit that I've been trying to work on. Is I'm just gonna, the first thing I do in the morning, my alarm is on my phone, so I hit my phone, put it away, and then I go and read my Bible, and that's my first thing. And that's been really helpful. So one of the things that he talks about in this book is the benefit of having I think in what he did, what he suggests is an hour-long conversation once a week, I think is what he said, or sharing a meal once a day with somebody. And both of those things do a really nice thing of recognizing our interdependence on one another, and recognizing that we were never designed to be humans alone. So don't try to be a human living a solitary life. I think that's a real challenge, JJ, to the way that we like to think about masculinity in America. I think we like to think about the Lone Ranger and, you know, the alpha wolf or whatever, the guy who's going it alone. But I thought this is a really good challenge to say, no, we need to be not just around people, but to recognize that we need other people, you know, to recognize that other people are there, not just for our entertainment or for us to take advantage of, but, you know, we're reading scripture, not just for our own benefit, but so that we can go out and we can serve and so we can see others. So anyway, that's a brief overview of some of where this challenge is coming from. Highly recommend picking up the Common Rule. I think we're going to probably steal a few challenges from that book later on down the road. But I definitely think it's worth picking up and worth reading.
Absolutely. I haven't read it yet, but your recommendation has prompted me to, it's at least in the Amazon, the bar. It's,
in the wish
it's
list.
Waiting there, yeah. to be purchased. Yeah. So we sort of combined those two, challenges, those two habits, that you mentioned into the one. It's really about the conversation and yes, having that community.
Yeah.
But, having it over a meal or, in some way there's a shared experience there. I would love to see what that would be like, kind of dig into that a little bit. One thing, I had, had an interesting experience in the last, I guess it was last week. So as part of my job, you know, I've traveled to a couple different clients and I was at a company, I guess it was only maybe 1,000-person company, right? Small enough that it's very affected by its local surroundings, but large enough that you wouldn't necessarily expect a express religion being very expressed directly from the leadership. Well, I was in an all hands at this meeting, which is, you know, all the company employees come together and they're sitting there listening to updates about their company and stuff, and I'm there helping represent my company. We've been hired to do work with them. And the CEO was asked directly, you know, why don't we allow full remote work or at least allow more hybrid work, right? Because this company had asked everyone to come into the office. And the CEO, he didn't say anything about productivity, about checking people on their work or about shared work hours or anything. He said, well, when God made Adam, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. And then he made Eve. And that's why I wanted everyone to come into the office. And that was his answer to that question. So I was thinking about that a little bit. Like there is a community that is formed when you are present with somebody. So yeah. That's a stipulation with this is as part of this conversation, try not to do it over the phone, right? It's definitely not over text. That's definitely not the case.
No.
But this is an in-person conversation. I think I'm excited to see what kind of benefits we derive from that. I'm also excited. We're going to have two more guests on. We're not revealing any names yet, but we have two more guests to be coming on.
The shroud is laughing at me. The shroud of secrecy must be maintained.
We'll have two episodes related, or two guests related to this challenge, this topic of community and conversation, and I'm very excited about it.
Me too. Those conversations, at least I'm bringing on a guest this time, one of the guests, and I'm thrilled to have this person on. Very much looking forward to that conversation. I think it's going to be a grand old time. This has been the Foraging Honor podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at foraginghonor.com. If you enjoy the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Foraging Honor journey.
On our website, you'll find information on how to do the challenges alongside us, as well as links to the many resources we mention in the show.
And we do make a small amount from any purchases you make through our website link, so thank you in advance.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Foraging Honor. We'll see you next time.